Once in a while, I like to stray from the money side of things and use one of the perks that come with having your own radio show. When I heard about a new book from my next guest, I knew I wanted to talk with him and share his professional life with you, as well as his artistic insights. When he was 25 years old, he received a Pulitzer Prize in journalism for feature photography that included photos of Vietnam, Cambodia, and the Ali Frazier fight. 2 years later, he was appointed President Gerald R. Ford's personal photographer. He's been presented with numerous other honors, among them World Press Photo Award and the Overseas Press Club's Award, and his coverage of Reagan and Gorbachev's historic first summit meeting in Geneva. He has published several books, including Sign Off, The Final Days of Seinfeld, Extraordinary Circumstances, The Presidency of Gerald R. Ford, and the official inaugural book for Barack Obama. And his latest, which caught my attention, is David Hume Kennerly on the iPhone, where in effect he offers a masterclass on iPhone photography, and we'll get some helpful hints in a minute. But first, let's meet David Hume Kennerly. Hey, David, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, how are you? And my latest and best work, I should add.
Well, I want to ask you about that in a few minutes, how you're working with all these great cameras and you're ending up on an iPhone, but that's for a minute or two. You know, how were you able to jump into such a highly competitive world when you were so young, you know, in the tender age of your early 20s?
Well, it was even earlier than that. I graduated from high school. I'm dating myself immediately here, but in 1965, I'm from a little town in Oregon and got a job on a big newspaper when I was 19. I had been going to Portland State College, but all I wanted to be was a news photographer. And so I got in as a temporary replacement, and then they hired me full-time, and I've really had an incredible career. I look back on it, and even though I'm still doing it, by the way, and I said, how could any one person have taken all those pictures, and how could that person be me? I mean, I never get over that, and I think the wonder of it, the excitement of it, the curiosity of what's around the corner is what's driven me and keeps me fresh today.
Yeah, I totally get that. You know, at 27 years old, you got a job as President Ford's White House photographer. How did that happen?
Well, I had been covering him for Time magazine when Spiro Agnew was on his way out, who had been Nixon's vice president. I was assigned by Time to cover one of the guys who was a possible replacement. It was Minority Leader Gerald Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And I took some portraits of him the day of the announcement, and he didn't even know he was going to be that person. I mean, he suspected he might be, but that photo ended up on the cover of Time, and it was my first Time cover and his. And then I was assigned to cover him. Picture editor of Time magazine, John Derniak, established a friendship with him and the family, and it was a professional relationship. And when he became president, he hired me. And I was 27, and you know, part of that was he appreciated what I'd done already. I mean, I was about the same age as his kids. You know,
yeah.
I would have been the oldest one, but he appreciated my Vietnam background, the fact that I'd been in combat for 2.5 years, and he was a World War II vet. You know, we just hit it off, bottom line, and he liked me personally and professionally, and that's why he hired me.
Some of it, though, it sounds like it was a little bit of luck, being in the right place at the right time. They could have assigned you to any of the other candidates that were being considered, but you got Gerald Ford.
Well, and again, our whole life is based on luck and proximity to certain things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But as a professional photographer, I think luck is part of it, but you really, when it falls to you to cover a big situation or whatever, as you know, and being in the business, you still have to do it. And, you know, I've just had a career that I think has been based, in, you know, to some degree on luck, but mainly just my own professional skill, my desire to do a good job. I spent a year and a half in New York as a young wire service photographer, and that's what really molded me into a better shooter.
So luck meets preparation. I think that's the lesson there.
The more you practice, the luckier you get.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, let's talk about these historic photographs that you took of Reagan and Gorbachev in 1985. From reading the material, I understood that they really weren't letting any photographers in to do that. So how were you able to get access when so many others weren't?
That's a great question. You know, being a successful news photographer or magazine photographer, particularly where you have a little more leeway with your assignments, you really have to kind of outfox the opposition. And when I heard that the Reagan-Gorbachev summit was happening, I called my contact in the Reagan press office, and he's the guy who handled photographers. And none of the other photographers had ever taken him seriously, but I always did. And I put in the request. I said, look, you know, this is, of course, with Time Magazine backing. Mm-hmm. I said, I would love to get behind the scenes of the Reagan-Gorbachev meeting in Geneva. And so I made the official request, and he basically said, if no one else asks, I think I can make it happen. And he did. And I was in there when Reagan sat down at what became the Fireside Summit.
Yeah.
My photo was the two of them sitting in there. The only other photographers in the room were the official White House photographer and the official Soviet photographer and me. And it was probably my single biggest coup in terms of a major league exclusive.
Well, I would invite everybody to go online and find that photo because it really shows those two men sitting relaxed, really a very human picture by a fireside, looking over papers. And it just brings them in kind of out of the iconic status and into the human world. And it's a wonderful, wonderful photo.
Well, the better picture, actually, to me, was what happened. And you could look at these on Kennerly.com, by the way, which is my last name.com. And there are a lot of photographs on that site. But the better shot, which showed the relationship, which is when you look at David Hume Kennerly on the iPhone, one of my big points is telling stories with a photograph, whether it's with your camera phone or 35 millimeter. But the photo was Reagan and Gorbachev. They're putting their coats on, and Gorbachev is looking at Reagan like just kind of with awe and like a big smile on his face. You could see that Reagan had just charmed this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that really goes a long way to international diplomacy. If you look at the relationship now between Obama and Putin, you might as well take those pictures on the Arctic Circle. Everybody's so chilly. And so that's all real. And it was real about the relationship with Reagan. And with my iPhone book, it's the same thing. All we're doing is applying my principles of taking photos and telling stories to what you can do yourself.
All right. Well, let's get to that. But before we do that, let me tell my listeners who I'm speaking with. It's a new book by David Hume Kennerly called On the iPhone. And David is an award-winning photojournalist whose iconic pictures chronicle the last 50 years from Vietnam to Seinfeld to Barack Obama and much, much more. So let's talk about that. You have used the best cameras probably ever manufactured, from Canons to Nikons, I'm sure, with terrific lenses and great glass, as you guys say. And now you focused on the iPhone, so it's not so much about the equipment anymore, it's about what you're seeing. So take us through some of the steps that you recommend in your book on the iPhone to help us all take better pictures.
Well, one of the things, and I am a Canon user, I use Canon 5D Mark IIIs for my professional work, but the importance of what I did here was in 2013, I wanted to strip that formidable arsenal down to the basic iPhone, in this case, camera. No telephoto lens, no wide-angle lens. It's just like one camera, one lens, and taking those photos. And part of what I did, and I really came up with a lot of ideas and made myself a better photographer, too. I mean, however good you are at certain things, you can always get better at it. And what I did was I came up with an idea. One idea was called the Kennerly Photo Workout, which is to go around your neighborhood or even in your backyard. I mean, it doesn't matter. Just some place that you're so familiar with that you never see anything anymore, and try to find and take pictures of five things that you've looked at every day but you haven't noticed.
Uh-huh.
And believe me, once you start doing that, it kind of opens your eyes. The idea of David Hume Kennerly on the iPhone is not to teach you how to see, but really to show you where to look and how it can be helpful and to see things in a different light and in a way where you'll get better pictures that will be more satisfying to you.
Well, you mentioned that you can't teach someone to see, but you can show where to look. What does that mean?
Well, it really means that in this photo workout, for instance, I have a whole chapter on overcoming familiarity. Familiarity really kills photos because you end up not seeing anything, or you don't see what you go by all the time. And so I deliberately walked around in my neighborhood And like I would see a shadow on a wall, but it looked like it was connected to a tree in the background, but it wasn't. Little things like mm-hmm. that. I mean, you'll see that in the book. And details of your life that you overlooked that actually could make a good photograph. And I really think this is important for family photos. One of my favorite pictures is a photo of my son, Nick, who's a student at USC here in Southern California, a music student, being hugged by his grandmother. And he looks slightly embarrassed, and she looks like she's loving him to death.
Yeah.
And there's a photo that tells the story, and everybody could take those kind of pictures, mm-hmm. but you have to look for them.
The book is David Hume Kennerly on the iPhone. One of the first five hints that you give is look at the world through Martian eyes. What do you mean?
Well, and that goes back to familiarity. Pretend that you've just come from outer space and you have not seen Earth and you're in your own location. And so look around like you've never seen this before. Basically, it gives you a fresh outlook on the ordinary, or at least what you perceive as ordinary. And, you know, and you say, oh, well, I come from a boring town or blah, blah, blah. I can find good pictures wherever I am. I mean, and I know I'm a professional and all that, but I really think if you stop and think about it, and that just goes to general picture taking in general, think about what you're doing. Why do I want to take this picture? Rather than just, I'm going to go in and take pictures of everything and hope I get something. That doesn't work normally.
Yeah.
And so really be a little more patient, a little more considerate about what you're trying to show. And I think right off the bat, you're going to start taking better pictures just because you're thinking about what that might be.
You know, there's always this idea with a professional photographer that they take hundreds of pictures and they pick out three. But you're saying really do the opposite here?
Right. I mean, I'm asked all the time about how many pictures it takes to get a good one, and the answer is one. And whether you took 10 to get it or 50 to get it is not really as relevant as what you end up with. And a good picture really is what's important to you. And I think this is the key to it all. And a great picture, by the way, is one you want to look at more than once or sticks with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we see so many pictures online, you know, just a torrent of them. But the main thing is what's important to you, a good picture to you, is only a personal item. But I think by looking at the book and just taking some suggestions from there, you'll get better pictures that'll be more important to you. And also edit them. When you put pictures up online, just pick one from a situation that you think is the best one, rather than, you know, being indecisive and putting 10 photos up, and mm-hmm. your friends really are not going to appreciate that, and ultimately you won't either.
So that dilutes the impact of a powerful photograph. Another hint here is be patient and let the photo come to you. How does that work realistically?
Well, and I give an example of that in the book. I found a really nice situation in Central Park. It was under a pedestrian overpass, and when I was in, it had shadows around on the right-hand side, and it looked like a painter's palette. But the picture was going to be much better if people walked through the frame, and so I just waited for people to come by, and I made several different photos,
mm-hmm.
but finally I got one, and I'm not doing anything to control that. A person with a dog coming in, and the shadows came in. It was perfect. It was a perfect moment, compositionally and everything else. So if you see something that attracts you, wait for other things to develop in the frame. You know, if you're in France with the Eiffel Tower or the U.S. Capitol, whatever, look for some foreground,
mm-hmm.
something that gives context.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, you're going to be way happier with the pictures at the end of the day.
And here's another one. When a photo is calling, you don't always have to answer. Sometimes it's just better to sit back and enjoy life without feeling the need to snap. We're almost out of time. David, give us some final words on photography and kind of the essence of what goes on in your mind when you're taking pictures.
Well, that last one, I think, is the most important. Don't ever let a feeling you have to take pictures get in the way of a good experience. But when you do take pictures, try to reflect what that experience was. And you'll be so much happier after, when you're sitting back and looking at these photographs. You really want to reflect, what are the stories in your life? How can you tell them with a camera? And I think David Hume Kennerly on the iPhone will help you get to that point.
Well, you said it again, and I'm going to repeat it once more. David Hume Kennerly on the iPhone. Get the book. It's wonderful. And find out more about this iconic photographer. Thank you so much for joining us, David. It's been a real pleasure.
Really appreciate it, and keep on shooting.
Will do. Thanks a lot. Take care.